Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. Is the computer buffering? We're already disconnected. Is the computer buffering? The computer was buffering. There we go. We back, baby. Yo, what's going on, people? Sorry for the technical difficulties. It happens when you got your own radio show and you are not a radio personality and you are not a radio professional. Sometimes shit happens. Welcome. We're 2 minutes late, but that ain't bad. You know, fuck it. You're here. You know how this goes. You know, we in here like swimwear, right? Welcome to the Off-Ramp Show for the people, by the people that embodies the people. I am your, I don't even call myself a host. I'm kind of just I would like to call myself a facilitator. I am your Thursday evening facilitator. Beach Bum Gun, live on the Off-Ramp, May 6, 2021. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Hope you hugged a Mexican. Do Mexicans fuck with Cinco de Mayo? I don't know. I've never. I got Mexican friends, right? I got Mexican family, right? Is that you, DJ Cesar? Oh. I got Mexican. Like how I talk about how Ho's family, M Extra Money's family, Blur's family. Like I got Mexican. I got a Mexican woman in my life that is like family, right? And my boy's Indian, and it's just crazy because I want to talk about Indian tonight. It's his wife. Is it inappropriate to wish them a happy Cinco de Mayo?
I say Mayo.
Like, do Mexicans really fuck with Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, it's an independent.
But if they're American, do they fuck with Cinco de Mayo?
Yes.
So I should have texted their happy Cinco de Mayo?
No.
But she's Mexican.
It's not Cinco de Mayo. If you keep saying
it's that. It's spelled like Mayo.
Yeah, okay, Janakuno.
Who? Janakuno. Welcome, DJ Star. Welcome to the office. Hey, hold on before I introduce you. Hey, if you want to call in and have some fun, kick some shits with us, rap about life. It's a show where me and my folks get together and, rap about what's going on in the world and what's going on in the personal world, the world in general, since we live in the multiverse, what's happening in the multiverse, and shed some tears, have some laughs, hug, cry, argue, and that's what we're here for. That's what the Off-Ramp is here for. This is where... There is, I always say a judgment-free zone, but people will judge you, but, you know, nobody knows your real name, so, you know, you're safe. So if you want to call in, 929-477-3975. And without further ado, let me formally introduce DJ C-Siren. DJ C-Siren, say what's up to the people.
Hello. Y'all doing tonight?
Shout out to Jalen and Jacoby. Got to give the people... Give the people what they want. I got my man, M Extra Money, as always. Welcome to the Off-Ramp Show, my brother. How are you doing tonight? Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Peace and blessings, all. Peace and blessings.
What's popping in up north, man? Is it frenzy out there?
We have some good weather, man. The birds are chirping. The bees are flying, and that means the pollen is fucking up my allergies.
yo, pollen is rough, yo. Like, people always talk about how they can't wait for spring, they can't wait for summer, and I always say, like, look, man, that when that pollen, and I have a holly tree outside my house, so I have probably have a, I mean, MX, you've been to my house, what is that, a 40-foot tree in front of my house? Like, that joint is huge,
yeah.
That is nothing but a pollen producer. Like, you can hear the bees buzzing during the day because of how many bees congregate in that holly tree. And the pollen just covers my pollen. And it is nuts.
Yeah.
And pollen is the worst, yo. But I found a trick. So DJ C. Siren was, you know, we're married, so she doesn't pay me any mind anymore. She just stays on the phone. So during one of these times where she wasn't paying me any attention, she figured out that the trick to allergies is to take a shot of bee pollen, local bee pollen. It has to be local because you're ingesting the pollen that's native to your area. So you have to get bee pollen that's native to your area. If you take a shot of that every day for 3 months, right, you're supposed to do it prior to the season. But MX, if you can get some local bee pollen, mix it with some lime juice, and take a shot at it every day, your allergies will go away.
Interesting.
Science.
I'll have to find me some bee pollen.
So I told G about it because G's wife had problems with it. I don't know if they got it or not, but I looked it up. The clearest local bee pollen place for you in your area is... well, it was by G's house, but whatever that farmer's market is down there by that Target and all that spot. They have local bee pollen.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll find it.
All right, check that out and let me know how it helps your allergies. But glad to have you on the show, my brother. We got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother.
Thanks for having me on, man. Glad to be here. What's up for y'all? I don't have allergies, never had allergies. So, yeah, I can't imagine being allergic to the planet I'm on. So, you know, that sounds like it's horrible. That said, if you got to drink bee pollen for 3 months, isn't allergy season over by the time you're immune?
You're supposed to drink it 3 months prior to allergy season. So what it is basically – the bee pollen, so allergies is basically like, you know, your body reacting to the pollen in the air, right? So if you ingest it, your body has time to build up antibodies to fight off the local bee pollen. So if you start taking it in February, by the time April comes around and you start inhaling the bee pollen, your body has already adjusted to the allergies that you have. You know, since you're taking in a low dose, it's not like you're taking, like, a whole shot of it. Now, if you're allergic to bees, I don't know if I'd try this because I don't know if people who are allergic to bees can do it. But I know me personally, if I start taking bee pollen around, local bee pollen around February, you know, late January, by the time April, May comes around, like, I might get a sneeze here and there, but, like, I'm not beat up after mowing the grass. And that's a huge deal. You're blessed that you're not allergic to anything. Now, you only got one kidney, so you better be careful. But
that thing working like a champ, though. That ain't putting in overtime. Yeah.
Like, is that – and that'll go into the deeper discussion that we had that we were having earlier about, like, heaven and God that was on our group chat. But isn't it weird? So, MX, I'll tell you, because you didn't know Blur growing up. I know you know him now, and we all family. But Blur is my man, 50 grand, from when we were in fifth grade. I grew up drinking and doing all this stuff. Blur never drank. Like, I was offended when he came back from college and was like, yeah, I had a drink. I'm like, yo, how you going to drink with them clowns in the country and not with your boy from back home? Hey, watch y'all background. But this kind of stuff makes me believe in God because, like, Blair never drank, never had any interest in it. And then all of a sudden his father needed a kidney, and he was a perfect match, and it was a healthy kidney because Blur never did nothing to any of us. Everybody around the way smoked, drank, did all this kind of stuff. Blur never did it. And it just so happened that his father was in a position where he would need a healthy kidney, and Blur got it. Now, Blur's fallen off since then. The kid eats like 3 double cheeseburgers a day, so now I'm worried about the kid. But, like, that can't be chance, right? Like, we have to be living in a simulation, right?
Hey,
because Blur, if your brother had to get it. Go ahead, Blur.
Oh, no, I'm saying divine intervention, man. You got to believe that there's a plan for everything. So, yeah. And
so
that said, I don't really get the double cheeseburgers, but I do the triple cheeseburgers on a regular.
I don't know if that affects your kidneys. But I'm definitely worried. But, like, think about it. Like, if your brother had to give your dad a kidney, I'd be worried about your father. And you know I love your family. But if your brother had to be the one to come up off his kidney for your father, I'd be like, yo, Mr. So-and-so, if I won't put your last name out there, I think it might be healthier for you not to have the kidney.
Nah, they probably would have looked like, yo, you're going to need both of these. We can't take one. That's what you at risk.
So it just makes
like, you ain't got enough kidney power to spare.
What'd you say?
That he might not have enough kidney power to spare him.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes
it works. Hey, shout out to your one good kidney, man. Well, your two good kidneys, because one's keeping you alive and one's keeping your father alive. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So, all right, man, we're going to get right into the show. We're going to see what's popping. DJ C-Sign's putting the kid to bed. Thursday's always a busy day for me. I got to work the job. I got to work the second job. He's got track practice. I come home, try to get dinner on the table, got to get him showered up. So she's running around helping me out so I can start the show. So we're going to get right into these subjects. We got a lot of stuff that we need to catch up on. So I will give the floor extra money. Anything in particular you want to talk about tonight, my brother?
Yes, man. Who saw the picture of the dude with one arm in handcuffs? Like, I feel like the cops did that man dirty. Like, why they put one hand in handcuffs and then hold his arm? Like, what's, like, can he still swing and hit you in the face? But now he has handcuffs attached to his one arm. Like, what the fuck did you? If you didn't bind him in any way, I that was just the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, but it's funny as hell, and I can't stop laughing.
Yeah, it's a great picture. So just to update the show. M Extra Money put a screenshot in our group chat, in our radio show group chat, of a one-armed man with handcuffs on. So I'm one of those people where, like, and it's a funny picture. Like, why would you handcuff a one-armed man? And I looked at a lot of things in this picture, right? Because I'm one of them people who, like, I never want to look at the first image. I want to see the entire background. So the first thing I noticed is, like, why are they standing in front of a wood wall? Like, and it has, like, a chess piece behind it, and that looks like he's about to get executed, right? I feel like wherever they're standing in front of, like, people have died, right? Then the next thing I noticed is, why does my man have bleached capris on? And I know it's a tough conversation for the radio show because y'all haven't seen it, but those who have seen it should get a laugh because he really has bleached with cut holes in his knees, capris on, and I'm confused, right? Then he's got a polo top with the collar up. So he definitely felt like whatever happened that night, like, he was stunting on these hoes. Like, he had his collar up. He had the bleached capris with the knees out. Like, why do you have capris on with the knees out? Like, capris and knees out just doesn't make any sense to me, right? And then you got the policia next to him. So, of course, you know this is in Mexico. And I don't want to be racist because happy Cinco de Mayo. I love Mexicans. And then it comes to the main part. Why would you handcuff a one-armed man? And then my problem is, the question I want to ask you, M. Extra Money, is why not?
You now I just gave you a weapon, bro. Now you can deal with one of your fists, but now I gave you a metal weapon you can swing and hit me with now. And you gave me reach. I gave you reach now. Like I gave you a whole weapon with this one handcuff because I'm not binding you to nothing. Like, that's what I don't understand. And they're standing there with their arms behind their back like he can't haul off and smack the shit out of one of them. Like, it's hilarious to me.
Can you handcuff enough? Like, should they have put the handcuff one on his wrist and the other one on his nub?
Oh, no. But it's better than
like,
that.
Like, what's the
what
procedure?
I
guess
like
we should
that.
Ask the police officer. I got to text a police officer. Because there are a lot of people out here with missing appendages. Shout out to the handicaps. That sounded awful, but I mean, there are a lot of people out here with missing appendages. But what do you do with somebody who's got one arm? Do you handcuff them and their appendage? Because I feel like I would, if I was a cop, I handcuff his arm to his ankle.
I just
well, you can't do that. I mean, you can all tie somebody in.
But
is that all?
Yeah, I guess. Basically, like, how the hell, I mean, not too many people going to be able to do that, you know, and still walk. I mean, you'll probably have to, like, handcuff him to, like, his pants or something. I don't know. Something. But his hand definitely has to be lying on his back, attached to something. But it damn sure can't be free swinging. Oh, that's just crazy.
I feel like handcuffing your arm... Okay, so now as a fat person who's not that flexible and who cramps up a lot, I feel like handcuffing my arm to my ankle is probably more comfortable than handcuffing both my hands behind my back. Now, mind you, I've had surgery on my shoulder. So try saying that three times fast. I've had surgeries, multiple surgeries, on my shoulders in the past 2 decades. So... like, if I ever got arrested and they put my hands behind my back and handcuffed me, like, I'm going to be in pain. Because it's just so tight from all the surgeries I've had. But I feel like if somebody handcuffed my hand to my ankle, like, I can't really get away. And I don't think that would be that uncomfortable. Maybe I'm ushering a new police thing. Instead of putting put your hand by your ankle and handcuff. You can't get away, right?
A lot of people can't touch the ankle.
Hold on, one at a time. Go ahead, Blair.
I'm saying a lot of people can't touch the ankle.
But if you're sitting down, you can touch an ankle. Who can't touch their ankle if they're sitting down? If you can't touch your ankle, you ain't running away. Right? Like, you're not a threat.
I don't know, man.
Right?
Depending on how big you is, I guess, but you might not run away. You might just fight. I mean, if you ain't trying to get away, what if you try and stand there and box it out?
Oh, that's why we shoot. That's why cops shoot people. And I know that's not probably the best joke at this point in life. But if I say, hey, bro, I'm going to handcuff you, you know, we're going to take you in. He says, nah, I'm going to fight you. And he's much bigger and stronger than me. Like, I've gotten told I have buddies that are Baltimore County police officers, and they say, God, I love you. Please always do what a cop says, because no cop is going to want to see you with the hands. They're going to grab the gun and empty the clip out of everything that they got. So I get it. If it's a big dude, like, he's got to go down, right? Like, that's why I stay away from cops. Just because if they're in fear mode, like anybody who sees a picture of me that they're going to post on CNN, like I got dreadlocks and a beard, they're automatically going to say that I was in the wrong. And they're going to see how big I am and say, it doesn't matter that he was a nice guy. Like, all y'all going to be like, but he was such a nice guy. They're going to show that picture of me. They're going to show an awful picture of me, and they're going to be like, nope, he had to go. So, but if you handcuff an ankle to a wrist, like, they can't get away, right? They're not a threat anymore, right? I don't know. I feel like I just came up with a new police procedure.
Nah, that's when you're going to use that much, choke you out.
But if you have your hand handcuffed to your ankle, we're spending way too much time on this, but if you have your hand handcuffed to your ankle, like, try swinging with, like, try holding your ankle and swing with your left. Like, you can't really move. Yeah, how many of y'all just did it? Did y'all do it? Did y'all really grab your ankle and swing and swing with your left? Because DJ C. Sire didn't budge. She's just not a part of this show at all tonight. DJ C. Sire, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
I said hi.
Well, say hi again.
Hi.
Shit. All right. So I think I came up with a new police procedure. I'm going to send that to my cop buddies and see what they think. I don't know if maybe it's just because I got fat feet, but I don't know if a handcuff, what do you call them, handcuff circle, a handcuff ring, bracelet, would go around my ankle. But anyway, hey, so M-Extra, good. I wish we could have. You know what? Next time you have a funny picture like that, instead of sending it the day before the show, I'm going to see if I can post it with the show because it's a funny picture. There's still a lot more to talk about. It's just tough with the show because not everyone's seen the picture. But it's a, but next time you have a funny picture like that and you want to talk about it, let me post it before we get on the show so I can share it with everybody so everybody gets a chance to see it. Blur, you got anything you want to talk about?
I would like to have y'all opinion on this, especially DJ C. Sire, but she's from the culture. How y'all feel about a black Superman? Now, a little backstory, maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more, a picture of Michael B. Jordan, Photoshop picture, Michael B. Jordan in a Superman outfit started floating around the internet, talking about he's going to be the next Superman, the black Superman, you know, all the racist and, you know, all the people with up in arms. And it was just announced a couple of days ago that, yes, Warner Brothers are looking for an actor and a director for their next Superman movie, both black. They want a black actor and a black director to make the next Superman movie, which will be a black Superman movie. I'll go first, but in my opinion, I don't like it. I feel like it's pandering, and I feel like they saw the success of Black Panther. Already black characters, and instead of just putting out other black characters, giving them they shine, oh, we're just going to take the white bread guy. You know, he's an alien, so he technically can be any color, but we're going to take this guy and make him black instead of giving us another sequel or another movie with the best Superman we had so far, Henry Cavill. So I don't like it. I feel like they're pandering, and they're like, oh, the black people went out and supported Black Panther like that. Let's see if we can get them to support our superhero. I ain't a fan.
Time out. Who did you say was the best Superman, and where would I know him from? What was that Superman? Because my favorite Superman is Dean Cain.
Henry Cavill, the last Superman.
The Witcher.
The Witcher? Oh, he's Superman?
Yes, that's what we talked about. Told you about. The Witcher.
So the last Superman from the awful Superman movies, he's the best Superman?
Well, I liked Man of Steel, his actual movie. I liked that. Batman v Superman, not so much. And Justice League was just aye.
Okay, see, that's my problem. I don't know how to explain these things. M-Extra, Blur, y'all should know me by now. It's just the way I consider things. So when I mean the bad Superman, that's the movie I was talking about, the Justice League movies. I like Man of Steel too. I don't know if it was critically acclaimed. I don't know if people thought it was good or bad. I thought it was a little slow, but I thought it was a good story. I thought he was an okay Superman. I didn't think he was anything special. But, you know, Dean Cain in Smallville was a classic. My man who got beat up by the horse with Richard Pryor in them, classic. Classic Superman. Who flew into the sun, Superman 4 with Dolph Lundgren in them, classic. Why are you looking at
me? You really think if you put him going with Henry Cavill? Who you think looks like a Superman?
Hold on, who's Henry Cavill? That's the new one?
The current.
The Witcher. Man. So he's the Witcher? He's the white dude with deep voice?
Yeah.
Right
here, yeah. They changed his name.
I didn't know that. I didn't look.
Yes, he did. We just discussed this with our neighbors a week ago.
I wasn't listening to that. Hey, shout out to my neighbors. I know y'all listen all the time. I didn't realize that. He's the Witcher? I like the Witcher.
Yeah,
the Witcher's pretty good. I think he has a terrible deep voice, but The Witcher's good. But let's go back to the best Superman ever. And Blur, I'm gonna come back to you because this is your wheelhouse. I know you like all these fake superhero men flying around in tights. Sounds like a childhood issue, but we'll come back to that. M Extra, who is the best Superman ever?
Well, first I want to address what Blur's topic was, and I tend to agree that it's definitely pandering, and I think that there's enough superheroes. Like they could have did like a Luke Cage type of thing and put it on a big screen as opposed to having it just in series form. They got like, we have all these other black superheroes that they can do. We don't need to take Superman and then all of a sudden like what would the story be? Like how did he become black when all these years we've known him to be this white dude from wherever the hell he's from, that country farm, town, whatever. Like it just, yeah. And they already did like the all alternate Superman or whatever when they brought the I forgot which one it was when the three people came from the other world. That's the best Superman to me anyway, that whatever movie that was. I forgot what it was, but yeah.
Okay, so you're right, we have to answer Blur's question first. So DJ Cesar, do you think the black Superman is just pandering to the black community?
I don't know about pandering. I think they see it as an opportunity. They want to combine black people with maybe, you know, what's potentially a...
Hey, whoever's driving, watch your background.
Money earner, but I agree with kind of what everyone else's sentiment is why can't we have another black superhero or character that's already there to be able to tell that story. Let's tell a story.
Because all the black superheroes are whack.
You don't know that.
Storm? Whack.
You stupid.
I love Storm in X-Men, but she was always the side character who kept crying and getting beat up. We got Black Panther. But, they made him dope.
But in the comics, she...
You're right. I'm not an X-Men. In the comics, she's supposed to be one of the strongest superheroes, so why is she always getting her ass whooped in the cartoon? Because it was written by a white man. No, I'm just kidding. But, okay, Blur, I'm going to come back to you. I just want to offer my opinion. I don't mind a black Superman. We got a black Spider-Man movie, and it was the greatest cartoon movie of all the time. And that's tough for me to say as a person who thinks Street Fighter II, top five animated movie of all time. Transformers, top five animated movie of all time. Like, who?
Man, Shrek, yo. You got to say Shrek. Shrek's number one, man.
Is Shrek the greatest? Okay, but we're going to get off topic. We got to table that, M-Extra. I like you coming in with the off-ramp comment, and we can have that argument about greatest, but I want to keep this on Black Superman. And we'll come back to that, so table that. I don't have a problem with them doing a black Superman as long as it's written well. It's the same thing with anything. I don't care how you reshape these old fake superhero people in tights. I don't care how you shape any story if it's for entertainment. As long as you take your time and write it well. I think that was the greatest thing about Spider-Verse. You took a black Spider-Man, you took this whole idea of the multiverse, you put in a story, and you're trying to incorporate a superhero with black culture, Hispanic culture, all in Harlem, New York, which is like a cultural epicenter. And it had to be done right. It had to be written correctly. There had to be thought that went into it. And it was such a well-written movie. It had great comedy, great ethical background, that it just became the greatest cartoon movie of all time. To me, even if you don't agree that's the greatest cartoon, it's just a great movie because, yeah, it touched on some of that cultural stuff, but it was just really well written. So if they're going to do a black Superman movie, I don't care because all this shit's fake anyway. It's just for entertainment. I just hope that if they're going to take this leap, it's not for what Blair says, just to try to get a bunch of black money to pay, just to get a bunch of black people to pay money to go see a movie, because you want white people to pay to see the movie too. That was a great thing about Black Panther. Like, white people wanted to see it too, because it was still part of a great movie series. I just hope they do it right.
That might be the reason why it doesn't successful, because you got your white sector of people thinking like why they always gotta chomp on our superhero, right? Like they made it black. Like, we don't support that, right? Because that was their, like, all-time favorite superhero was Superman and shit. So they may, you may get pushback from that aspect, which may ultimately hurt the movie, because then you start talking about that as opposed to how good a movie is, even if it is a well-written story.
Okay, see, that's ahead, my Blush. Thing. There's already, like, even when it was first, like, just a rumor, and I guess where the smoke is fire, clearly people knew that Warner Brothers was thinking about this. It's already been, like, not my Superman. Like, the same thing they did when Haley Bailey got cast as Little Mermaid. Nah, that's not the real Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid's white. I mean, it's a mermaid. Superman is the alien. Now, there is a black Superman in the comics. They already have a black Superman, and they'll probably just use that same story. Like, his name is, it's not like, because Superman's name is Kal-El. His name is Khalil. So, like, I mean, and on Earth, his name is Calvin. It's, yeah, his name is Calvin, and instead of, what's Superman's name? I can't think of Clark. Instead of Clark Kent, his name is Calvin. Clark. Not Dean Cain. No.
Clark Kent.
Yeah, not Clark Kent, it's Calvin. So they already have a black Superman in the comics, which is great. Like, they have a lot of different Supermen. They've told the story over years. But, like, they have a black Green Lantern who's already been – they're working on the Green Lantern movie. One of the most popular Green Lanterns is the black dude. Why not make him the black Green Lantern? They already introduced a black superhero in the Martian Manhunter. Why not give him a movie? Why are you going to take a thing that's going to – it's probably just for outrage is what I'm thinking. I think they're doing it just because of outrage. They're going to get a lot of people talking about it, a lot of people upset. And I guess all publicity or all publicity is good publicity, even if it just creates a lot of buzz online of people saying, not my Superman and everything. And it's all just because, I really feel like it's just because they're like, oh, snap, look what Black Panther did. That was a billion-dollar movie. We see how it created such a big buzz in the black community. DC and Warner Brothers are like, yo, we got to do that. And I think they're going about it the wrong way.
But what's the problem with the black Superman? Like, what if it's written well and it's done well? Who cares? It's a black Superman.
But we have Superman is, I don't know if he's the original. I think he might be the first superhero character, comic book character. But even if he's not, like, let him be white. Other than they have a black one, I'm sure, tell that story. That's great. But they have enough black superheroes they could tell that story instead of, like, creating this divide and creating this, like, I won't call it culture shock or this. I mean, just this, it's just going to be outrage. I think it's a forced outrage just for the fact of making it an outrage.
But it's not like they're creating a black Superman movie out of something that's not in the comics. If y'all and y'all know better than me, because I don't know. But if you're telling me there's already a black Superman comics, and if it's a good story that it sold well, then what's the problem? They're not creating something out of nowhere that's been in the comics.
Well, then all these things have been in a comic. All these things have been in a comic, but they get their time. Like, Spider-Man, like, Black Spider-Man was in a comic. You just got to wait your time. How many regular Spider-Man movies we had? 7, 8 before we had the black one, and even then, that was animated. Like,
so you want to wait until the white man says it's our time before we get a movie?
No, I want them to do all these other black people, all these other regular, original black superheroes.
Green Lantern wasn't cool. Who cared about that little terrible ring? And who did that? Seth Rogen was the Green Lantern? And Chino? Who's the Chinese man with the Green Lantern? Am I thinking that's the Green Hornet?
I'm like, yo, what are you talking about?
It was Bruce Lee. Wasn't that a superhero movie?
Not when Bruce Lee did it back in the 80s. No, that was a regular TV show.
But that was a superhero, right? The Green Hornet? Isn't that based on comics?
I don't know if it's a comic or not.
I don't know. But I don't see a problem with it. As long as they don't make it, you know, a cop shot a black man, so now a black man became Superman. Like, just make it well written. And I won't have a problem with it. So, all right, man. I guess that's our Black Superman discussion. And Metro, you got anything else on Black Superman?
Nah, man, I'm good.
Blur, you or DJ Cesar, you got anything left on Black Superman?
No.
What's the stereotypes for black Superman? Like, does he like watermelon, or is he, like, allergic to watermelon?
Actually, in the comics, he's president.
He's the president of the United States?
Yeah.
Barack Obama smoked too many stogies to be Superman. Is he dark skin or is he light skin? Because they'll never elect a dark skin black president. That's a whole different subject. But oh man, all right. Well, you know, we'll see. So, Blur, you want to end the subject on Black Superman?
Yeah, man. Again, I hope it's good. I really do hope it's good. I don't know. I don't got much faith in DC and Warner Brothers making a good movie right now, but hope it's good. Even if it is, it's not going to perform well, and it'll probably never be picked up and done again.
But that, but Black, okay, so just a quick question. Black Panther performed so well. White people went and watched Black Panther. If Black Superman's done right, and it's not like, hey, I became Superman because all these white people are devils, it just became like I became Black Superman because the world needed me. Like, white people watch it. White people love all these men flying around in tights. I never understood why Superman was so great at everything and put his underwear on the outside of his pants. It didn't make any sense. But why don't you think people will support it?
Because it's a white, a traditionally white character being black. They're going, it's going to be the whole thing, affirmative action and, you know, PC culture and wokeness and everything that Fox News and Republicans and everybody complain about now. Is it going to be that times 10? Because people might go, that's not my Superman. Superman is white.
So was Spider-Man. And Spider-Verse performed extremely well.
Yeah, and again, you know,
but that was a comic, though. I think the animated, yeah, I think the animated took a little bit of that, though.
So
they
you think
accept the cartoon.
Go ahead. Go ahead, I'm actually. I ain't gonna control.
I'm just saying a cartoon, like, you know what I mean, is I think more would be more widely acceptable to play in that realm than if you actually seen a black man play that character.
I don't know, man. I mean, I can see what y'all are saying, but I think that if you took Spider-Verse and made it a live-action movie, as well-written as that script was, as beautifully scorn as that movie was with the great music behind it, I still think it still would have been a hit. I think the movie was just that good. But, I mean, we'll never know. I mean, maybe all right. Maybe white people will support black people in a cartoon form but not in a live form. I don't know. I don't think white people are that bad, but I've been wrong before. So, all right, so that's that. DJ C-Sign. So I got one topic from MX and one from Blur. DJ C-Sign, you got anything in specific? You got anything specific that you want to talk about?
No.
You sure?
Sure.
I thought you wanted to talk about the $100 million deli.
Oh,
I guess we can save that. All right, we can save that. MX, back to you. Got anything else you want to rap about?
Nah, man.
Okay. Blur, you got anything?
All right. One other thing I wanted to ask y'all about, because I just heard about this today. Apparently, in China, there's this whole craze. I think it's called a pet mystery box. I got to remember exactly what it's called. But you go online and you pay for a pet. You order a pet, but you don't know what pet you're getting. You're just getting an animal. It's like a mystery animal box. You're getting an animal shipped to you. And it became an issue because half the pets are dying, and there are just being dead dogs and dead cats just arriving in people's houses. But
I love China. China sounds like a wild place. Like, China sounds like America talks about freedom, and I know China's communist. But China always sounds like we just going to see whatever the fuck happens.
It's called the blind box.
So what's going on?
The blind box.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called the blind box craze. And you go online to these retailers or whatever, you pay, and you don't know what type of animal you're getting, but you're getting a pet. Dog, cat, lizard, snake, bird, something. You're getting a pet. And it's supposed to come live, but like 40 to 50% of them as of now, or when the story broke, are dying in transit. And they found out because they put them in a crate or whatever, and then they put the crate in a box. So like the shipping companies and the mail people didn't know it was live animals, except for like they said it was like a stack of them, like 100 feet long and like 10 to 20 feet high. And they just heard all these noise coming from it. So one of the mail people opened one up and saw it was a pet, and they realized, like, yo, all these are pets. So they tried to save them and like take care of them, but half of them was already dead. And the cops said they can't do anything about it. It's not against the law in China right now. And it was like, I guess they got like their version of like humane society or something over there. And they're trying to step in and say they can't do nothing about it. So why the government, or not even the government, I guess these government agencies are trying to like stop it, or trying to find a way to stop it, it's getting bigger and bigger. Because people are just like trying to find, hey, what am I going to get? Sometimes you get like an expensive puppy. Sometimes you get like a rare cat or something. Sometimes you get like a 5-foot snake. Imagine you bought something and you just open up your mail and it's a 5-foot snake in a box. That is incredibly crazy. I couldn't do it. But they're like, it's like a big craze right there. And imagine opening up your box and you see a dead puppy. Like, you open up your mail on one Thursday and it's just a dead dog in there. I'd freak out.
Why would you freak out? Like, okay, let's take this conversation as it is. If you're at the point where you're buying a random animal off of a website that you don't know, when you get this animal, if it's dead, like, that's your fault. I understand the whole Christmas aspect. Oh, I never know what I'm going to get. But if we're talking about humans and animals, like, if you want an animal for a pet, you have to take responsibility on their life. You should be prepared for their life. No way should there be a business where you just get a mystery, a live animal, and then have to figure out how to take care of its life. Because what if you get a cat and you're allergic to cats? Like, what if you get a snake and you don't like snakes? Or you don't have one of them reptile boxes? I guess fish tanks with pebbles in it and a heat lamp. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't. Like, whoever started this idea is just cashing in on that whole unknown phase that humans like, the whole scarcity phase. Like, we don't know if we're going to get as exciting and all that stuff. But you should never be purchasing an animal that you have to take care of blindly. You should go into research knowing and preparing your house for whatever animal you have to take care of. Now, to open a box and see a dead dog or something, that does got to suck. I remember when Henny had puppies, and I put a dead dog in a liquor bag. That's just a whole nother story. And shout out to my man, D. Brown. He listens all the time. He thought there was a bottle. I forgot that I had put the dead puppy in the liquor bag. And, like, 2 days later, he thought it was a bottle of Southern Comfort in there, and opened up the bag and saw a dead dog. And he was mad at me for about a year. But,
yo, I have so many questions off of that story, man. That's a wild story.
Yeah, it was a rough night. It was a rough night. Shout out to all the people who was there when the babies were born. I think all of Henny's dogs died. I think that entire lineage is just dead now. But yeah, man. Like, man, I don't know, DJ C-Time, what you think? Did you ever buy an animal, like a mystery box of animal, just to see what you get?
No, but. My thing is, why isn't the company putting holes in the boxes or something? Like, because
it's China. They're going to just eat them. That's racist.
Oh, yeah.
Protect Asians.
No, you know what's funny? I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, yo, if the cat arrives dead, Oh well, they just got food already.
General Tso's Chicken.
Who's this company that has access to all these animals but can't ship them right?
Chinese food store. I'm sorry, protect Asian hate. I love Asians. I got Asians that people I love. But I'm here for the jokes. I'm just here for the jokes. I know all Asians don't kill. And Mexer, you got anything on the mystery, the blind box China craze?
Nah, man, that sounds crazy. I don't... Random pets, like, that's crazy. Whoever did that needs to be shot. You know? Like, no more ideas for you.
No, that's but China. Like, they probably going to get anything they want greenlit. Like, yo. Because it's like blowing up. It's like the company, and it's not just one. It's multiple companies now because it's that big of a business now. People are enjoying it and doing it. So whoever came up with the idea, they're probably on like their third or fourth venture now. Whatever they ask for, people are green lighting.
I mean, it's a good business model because if you're not liable for its death, like if you order a mystery box pet and you get a cat, you don't like a cat, bash him upside the head with a hammer and be like, yo, he arrived dead. Let me get another one.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even hear anything if you get refunds if they're dead. They didn't even talk about that in the news story I heard. That's a good question. I wonder if they're responsible for refunding if it arrives dead.
If the China scammers are anything like the Nigerian scammers, ain't nobody getting a refund. You just get another pet. It just keeps sending you pets. Yeah, that's a little wild, though. But I always say China is about 10 years ahead of the U.S. And Blair, me and you argue about this all the time. It'd be a good discussion between you and MXer, since both of you like the tech space. Who's more advanced, America or, you know, the Asian countries? But I always say that China is about 10 years ahead of us just because of how many people they have and how many people they got to accommodate. What would be the American version of mystery box pet? Like, could we get, like, a box sent to us and have like just like beetles in it, like just cicadas, like because like, you know, to my folks in Maryland, y'all dealing with the 17-year cicadas right now. They out, they causing havoc, banging into your cars because they blind, trying to hump everything in sight. Like if you ordered a mystery box pet and just got like a box of 17-year-old cicadas, like would that be a funny joke or not? Like, that could ruin, like, a whole nother habitat, couldn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a story, right, that an Asian gang, because a restaurant owner owed them money, they went in and dumped 10,000 cockroaches in the restaurant.
Ooh.
And they got arrested for that. For like whatever they call that, intimidation, witness intimidation, because they dumped 10,000 cockroaches in this restaurant because they failed to pay.
Whose job was
is that? Like step one?
Oh, go ahead, Blair.
No, is that like step one? Like, is that your first three? Cause, like, if that's your go-to, like, if you a gang and your intimidation is like, we're going to put bugs in your restaurant? I mean, 10,000 bugs is definitely a problem, but if I ain't fearing for no limbs or, I mean, I ain't worried about you beating me up, threatening my family. So I'm assuming hopefully that's just like step one. They're going to start with the bugs. Then they're going to escalate from there. But it's like, if that's their big thing they go to, it's a punk-ass gang.
But I guess my next question is, I mean, yeah, that could be step one. And, of course, because you don't want to get – I mean, that's a great way to not get assault charges and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure the intimidation charge was just a fine. Somebody was able to bail out. But if you're in a gang and somebody says, yo, I need you to collect every cockroach you see. We're about to dump 10,000 cockroaches in this new restaurant. Like, if you're tasked with, like, catching cockroaches, I'm out the gang.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not, yeah, I don't feel that important.
I said 10,000. I said 10,000. It was 1,000 cockroaches, and it was in Taiwan. So I just want to correct. I want to make sure I'm correct. But, yes. But it was in Taiwan, and it was 1,000 cockroaches, and they didn't get caught. They just they walked out. They were in all masks, all black, dumped in joints, and then dipped out. It's just crazy. Yeah.
You made a bad life choice if that's the gang you joined. I mean, gang, I mean, New York, New York ain't on the pod right now, but you got the Yakuza. You got, come on, man. If I had a blood in a crypt in China or Taipei somewhere, if that's the gang you joined and they collected bugs, you made some bad life choices. Like, some really bad life choices.
I mean, but Blurry, you might have a point. Like, what's the next step? Like, yo, today you got 10,000 cockroaches. Next time I'm dropping a polar bear in your restaurant. Like, could you imagine walking in to open up your shop and then, like, a polar bear is just sitting there? You might have to take them seriously. Like, you owe us $1,000. We gave you 1,000 cockroaches for every dollar you owe us. Fuck up again, and I'm dropping Mufasa off in this motherfucking. Like, and then you just open, like, now you got a panther in your restaurant, like, hiding, waiting for you to come in to eat you. Like, that's a good warning shot. It might not be that bad. Now, whose job is it to catch the panther? They probably shouldn't have joined the gang. Like,
Yo, that's some wild stuff, man. You're right, because I can imagine, like, what if it wasn't cockroaches, which is an inconvenience, and probably you could get your business shut down for a little while before you lose the money. But, yeah, I'm losing money, so I can't pay you anyway. But what if they did escalate to something worse than cockroaches? What if it was, like, snakes or something? Like, that would scare me, and I'm starting to think maybe I have a phobia of snakes. Like, if you just, I walk in there and there's snakes all over my restaurant, yeah, I'm going to find a way to give you the money. I'm going to figure it out. But cockroaches, I'm going to be pissed. I'm like, yo, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Even if it was a bear, if I, like, see it and I got a chance to get away, I'm just going to call the police or animal control.
Like, there were patrons there, though. They were open. Like, they were open.
Oh,
they did this when people were there. They just came in the middle of service and dumped them joints. They threw them everywhere. They just were throwing them.
That's fine.
All right, you got to be legit, because if I'm there with my lady and I'm having me some sake and some noodles, and you throw a cockroach in my noodle, and you got a mask on, like, you're going to have to be able to beat my ass, because at that point, we got to fight until one of us dies. I ain't got nothing to do with the money he owe you, but you fucking up my kimchi.
Right. But that's going to gross you out, though. You ain't never coming there again, though.
Yeah, but I'm gonna fight the dudes I see throw a cockroach. But no, but I think this is a funny discussion. Like, okay, so if you walk in, okay, if they put a panther in there, like, in a panther's hiding and trying to kill you, that's one thing. But what else could you put in besides a cockroach that would suck, but that probably wouldn't kill you? So I'm thinking of, and I'm gonna just go first because I'm gonna let y'all have a moment to think about. Just because we had this problem in our neighborhood this weekend. Like, what if you walked in your restaurant, and I know MX just explained that it was open, but I'm just imagining it's closed. Like, I'm going in to open, it's early in the morning, I'm going in to prep the food, and I walk in, and there's just, like, 6 beehives in there. Like, yeah, it might not kill me, but that's like, I got to walk out, and there's no way I'm opening for, like, a week. Like, I got to figure this out. Like, what animal can they put in there that you would walk in and you'd be like, all right, let me pay this, because even though this ain't going to kill me, it's going to be annoying as hell.
See, I was thinking like, cicadas or crickets, man, just like the noise. Like, you know they there, even if you can't see them, like, you hear cicadas, you hear crickets, like, nobody, like, even if you owe the money, no, even if the people weren't there, like the customers, customers gonna come in like, yo, y'all got crickets in here? They walking right out. Like, that's gonna be a hell of a nuisance. Like, just hear crickets chirping all day.
Yeah, 1,000 crickets would be wild. That used to be the worst.
Yeah.
Get a cricket in the crib and you couldn't find it.
Yeah, I agree, man. It gotta be crickets. I was thinking mice at first, but crickets, yeah. Because you can't, they'd be in there forever.
She's what about
good,
what about an ant? What about a thousand ants?
Red.
The red ants, the kind that like bite your nuts off.
The fuck?
You know, I don't know.
Cause ants, and I guess I always feel like ants and even bees, because like bees, you should usually confine the beehive and you know just spray some off or something, spray something up there, and then you good. Ants, I feel like that way too. Like ants, like once you see one, it's usually pretty easy to find the rest, and then you just, you know, go get some bleach, toss some bleach in there, and you good. Crickets, like
what about a
I don't
thousand,
think they congregate.
What about a thousand moths? Like, they're not dangerous, but, like, you know that if you kill them, like death dust moth is going to go all over your oodles and noodles. Like, you can't get rid of them. But you know if you kill them, like, it's just going to be death juice everywhere. Like, what if a
death
thousand
juice.
Moths? What if a thousand moths were moths? Why can't I say that? Grab a drink. What if a thousand moths were deposited into a restaurant? Would you eat there again?
It would take a while for me because moths probably ain't that bad. But yeah, especially if I know somebody put them there. Yeah, take your time, clear that out, man. Call the fumigator.
Okay, here you go. What if you walk in and there's a thousand dead jellyfish in your restaurant?
Yeah. Hey, seafood salad. Fire up the grill.
I'm paying, yo. All right. I think we've won this topic out. Good topic. I don't want to bore y'all. I'm actually, you got anything left on animals in China?
Nah, I'm good, bro.
All right, so the other big news we didn't get to last week, and it's sports-related, and we'll have the discussion. DJ C-Sar, I'll just ask if you care at all. Aaron Rodgers has asked to be traded out of Green Bay. Is that a big deal to you or not?
No.
Man, how is that not a big deal to you? Like, we've been married. You don't care about this stuff?
I mean, he's getting older. I mean, you know, these things change.
Did you care that he looked like the guy who was trying to capture Who Framed Roger Rabbit at the Kentucky Derby? Did you see those pictures?
That was Brady.
Oh, yeah, that was Brady. That was the other white guy.
I saw
two of them. So that was the other one. My English was correct. Did you like that look?
I showed that to you.
Did you like the look?
No, it was bad.
You think he's looking bad in his old age?
No, I think it's that
Botox?
Eating plan.
The Kim Kardashian, no tomatoes?
His face looks real.
We got to talk about Venus getting a Sammy Sosa. Have you seen those pictures? Venus Serena, she lightened her skin?
Venus or Serena?
Whichever one got the bigger ass.
She has a lightened skin.
There you go, Serena.
Picture of her.
Wait, are you serious? That's my baby, man. I mess with Serena Williams. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Y'all haven't seen that video of her trying to, on the cover of, what magazine is it?
That's just Photoshop. They like
it's on the magazine, so you never know. The magazine be doing that without people's permission.
Yeah.
What cover magazine? I mean, she looks like she's had work done to her face. She looks bad.
She looks the same to me.
But, I mean, God bless her. She got the money. So I want to go back to Aaron Rodgers, though, just because the NFL draft is this past week and we never discussed. DJ C-Sar, it meant nothing to you. Blur. Aaron Rodgers demanded trade out of Green Bay. Big deal or no deal?
I don't want to say somewhere in the middle. I don't say a big deal because we've seen the writing on the wall. I mean, anybody who follows sports, you kind of knew this. Like, new coach, you don't like the GM, and then they draft a quarterback. Now, you know what a new coach and a new – regime come in, they get their guy. You're getting old. Your talents are clearly diminishing. Everyone else can see it on the field. Even though he's still good enough to win MVP,
he won the MVP
playoff game. What'd you go ahead?
He won the MVP last year.
And he cost them the playoff game. So I'm saying, so his skills are clearly diminishing. New regime, they get their guy. So the writing's on the wall. I think they would be stupid not to trade him. I understand he made it hard for him because he did win the MVP and he is, like, such a big player. But, yeah, don't let him go like they did Brady where they couldn't get nothing for him. Get rid of him now. Get as much as you can. I do think it's messed up because they should have kept this in-house and they should have traded him. With him demanding a trade, he's bringing down his trade value. Because everybody's like, oh, no, nah, he wants out. So we're not going to give you your three first rounds or whatever else you need because he ain't going to play for y'all. Y'all going to wind up having to give him up for less. So, yeah, I think this is clearly – maybe even spiteful. Maybe he's trying to lower his trade value so they don't get as much for him. But, so it's not a big deal, but it's definitely a deal.
And Maxer?
It's definitely a big deal. And it's a big deal because Aaron Rodgers, like you said, won the MVP last year. He is the only thing that was consistent in Green Bay and kept them winning at a high level year after year. I think they had like one off year, one or two maybe, and I think he was hurt. So that's a big deal just because he's a franchise quarterback. And it's one of those things where you think that look at what they did or how Brett Favre ended in Green Bay. You would have never really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to have that same fate as Brett Favre playing for another team. You really kind of thought that he was going to be that franchise to retire with that organization. So I think that's all. That's what makes that just kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Go ahead, boy. No, I was going to ask. My bad. I didn't even cut you off. I was going to ask, I feel like there's been a clash between him and the organization going back a couple of years. Like, this ain't a new where he's not gotten along with them, or at least there's been perception that he ain't gotten along with the organization. I feel like they probably just as tired of him as he is of them, or at least they should be.
So let me ask you this. Does Aaron Rodgers being great, does that mean the organization owes him anything extra than the contract that they agreed to pay him? The beef now is that Aaron Rodgers wants to be included in the draft day analysis of players and wants to be consulted on who they should pick. That's obviously
well,
not.
And I don't even know if he wants to be included, but he wants to be like anything, like any relationship. You married to DJ C. Cyrus. All right, you married, that's it. You just got to, it's like, all right, we just married until here or not. Now you also got to take care of her, show her love, give her things. I mean, the house, the kid, whatever it is. They got Aaron Rodgers, they're like, all right, that's it. You under contract, we ain't give you nothing. No receiver, no running back, no offensive line. We going to go over here and deal with everything else, and you over there on your own. So I don't know if he wants to be included in the decision-making, but he's like, yo, y'all got me here to do something. Help me out. Help me help you. And y'all going to sit here and not help me help you, but I'm going to get blamed for not being able to do what I need to do. Yes, I don't think they need to include him in the decision, but they do owe him, like, some help. And if he's complaining about not getting help, you owe him something. You got to, like, I don't know if that's extra. I think that should be par for the choice. That should be par for the course. We brought you in here to do a job. We're going to give you the tools to do the job.
Hey. It's quoting your brother from earlier today. You ain't never been married. You can't tell me what I owe nothing to DJ C. Sire. Look, I'm married to you. That don't mean I got to do anything extra. Why are men required to do stuff extra after we get married? The women say they want married. They say they want an honest, loving relationship. We give them that. Why do we have to do anything more? Shout out to all the mothers coming up on Mother's Day. Thank God that you laid there and got pregnant and it was able to happen for you. Shout out to all the mothers. But I don't have to do anything extra. We signed a deal. I can do something extra because I enjoy that. But if we sign a contract, I just have to abide by that contract. I don't have to do anything extra. It's not required of me. Aaron Rodgers signed a deal to play quarterback for a certain amount of money. Stay the fuck out of our war room. This is none of your business who we draft. We don't owe you that. I understand you want to get better on that side of the ball, but as a GM, I have to think about the future and both sides of the ball where you don't.
You might not like our pick. I got to think about the fact that you're 30-something. You keep running around here with Danica Patrick and all these Hollywood chicks. I don't know where your head's at. You on Jeopardy. You ain't in a playbook. You answering questions. You a game host. You a game host. I got to prepare for the future. What the Hove say? If they say they made Hove, okay, make another Hove. We made Brett Favre. I'm sorry, let me go back. We made Bart Starr. We made Brett Favre. We made you. Why don't you think we can't make another you? Stay out of our business. Shut up and play ball.
And you know exactly what he's saying? Oh, no, go ahead, Emeka.
I didn't say anything.
You know what he's saying? All right, y'all think y'all made me. Well, really, I made y'all. I'm the reason I've been carrying this organization on my back, and I'm tired of carrying it. Y'all need to get me some help. And if y'all think y'all don't need me here, let me go. I'm lowering my trade value. Get me out of here for a third rounder and a milk can, and let me go somewhere else and make that other organization a Super Bowl contender.
And that's the same thing Brett Favre said when he went to the Jets. And look how that turned out.
He said he had two options, and he told them where he wanted to go, and they traded him somewhere else. Look what happened when he went to Minnesota.
You know what, Favre? You like showing your dick? Suck our dick. Where you want to go? You want to go to the Broncos? You can go to the Jets. We run this. This is our contract. Shut up and play ball. You wanted this money to play quarterback. We gave you the money to play quarterback. Stay out of our war room. I ain't mad at the package. Now, I understand both sides of the story because as Aaron Rodgers is probably right. Like, you shouldn't have – I'm still performing at an MVP level. Like, get me a good wide receiver. Give me a good tight end. Give me somebody – give me one of them big uglies up front to help us, and maybe we win a Super Bowl if we got more talent. Because as we saw –
one offensive pick in the first two rounds over the past 8 years.
Yeah, it's bad. But you signed the contract. You should have signed a year-to-year deal. And if you didn't like what I did, you could have been a free agent. But you signed a multi-year deal.
I'm going to go out there. Yeah, like DJ, if he's signing, like, yo, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my wifely duties. I'm going to cook and all that. I'm going to do everything. But you ain't going grocery shopping. You keep bringing me in here dead cats and dogs to cook. And I'm trying to make filet mignon. I can't make filet mignon with dead cats and dogs. So I'm out of here. I'm going to go find me a Michael B. Jordan who's going to be the next Black Superman, and he's going to bring in some dead cows and some steak, and I can make filet mignon out of that.
See, that's a discussion that people in relationships don't have. Like, what do you get when you get married? Like, there is no real contract on marriage except that you both try to remain faithful and loving. But no one's really guaranteed anything. Like, when you get married, like, you don't really get anything except a tax break. You don't really get a tax break anymore. Like, all you're doing is, like, locking yourself down for court purposes. DJ C. Siren, you're here. You're over here smiling, shaking your head, disappointed at me. What did you get when we got married? That's it, just by title. But I was the same thing the day before.
Yeah, and that's a relationship in general.
Like, DJ C. Siren ain't even changed her last name. She still got her father's name. Like, there's nothing that literally changed except that now we need a lawyer if we get tired of each other.
Which sucks because I
would have left her a long time ago.
To the hospital. If I get sick, you can come to the hospital.
No, I can't with COVID. I can't even come in. The last time you were in the hospital, I couldn't even come in. I had to wait for you to come out.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
When I was in the hospital.
Yeah, well, you had the doctor's appointment.
Well, yeah, the doctor.
Yeah. I couldn't even come in. I had to come out. I had to wait for you to come out.
Well, I'm talking about any of
them. You get nothing when you get married.
Take it out of marriage. Look at it as any relationship you're with somebody, whatever the dynamic of that relationship is. Maybe in y'all household, y'all split the bills or whatever. I mean, she's sitting there bringing in her half of the money. She got a nice Chrissy Hunted, and you bringing in rolls of pennies. Like, come on, man. Don't make her go to the bank with rolls of pennies to pay the mortgage. Like, yeah, she could still do it and she's still getting it done, but at the same time, you're making her job a little bit more difficult.
But but the only reason why you split in the mortgage is because y'all decided to get married and now you're combining incomes as one. But nothing really changed except for the fact that you got two incomes under one roof instead of just one.
You preached it to the choir. I had this conversation the other day with one of my people. I'm like, look, there's no incentive for men to get married. I know women still, like, you know, I mean, most women, I won't say all, but most women still got that feeling of want to be an honest woman and that, you know, prototypical nuclear family thing, you know, how two kids, a dog, white picket fence, change the last name or don't change that name. I mean, you want to be an honest woman, I guess is what it's called or used to be called. I mean, I told one of my people the other day, like, yo, you can have all that and then got worried about going down and paying for no big parties. You can have all that without getting married. Only thing is, women want to be the honest woman, the honest woman.
But again, that's just for a woman's psyche, right? But they actually don't get anything. Like, if we discuss what do you actually get in marriage, it's really not anything. Like, no one gets
you get to get into heaven because you're not having premarital sex. You're not adultering. You get to go to heaven because you're not adultering.
You got to test the car before you drive it for good. But, yeah, I guess in certain religions, if you're not having premarital sex, then, yeah, you know, you get to go to heaven. If you haven't done anything else that violates any of the other Ten Commandments, if you've never lied, then you're good.
Not never. It's called forgiveness. You'll ask for forgiveness.
Repent, right?
Yeah. Repent.
So you just got to wait to the day you get cancer and then start repenting.
No.
You can't wait? You ain't dead yet.
No, you can do it before you die.
But why? Just wait till you know that you're ready to die. You just got
to
take it. A roll of the dice that a plane
though
was there.
You have to prove that you're trying to be better.
So what do you get? Like, what would be a good marriage contract? Like, what would a woman want? So DJ C. Siren, if we had to get married all over again, right, which wouldn't happen, I don't think you would marry me all over again. I think you would take your chances out in the streets. But what would you require of me in a contract to marry me?
I don't know. I haven't thought about this. Nothing.
See, I have a long list that I would make you sign. And I think that's the difference. I think that's going back to what Blair is saying. Women just want to be an honest woman in a relationship.
I mean, if you want a slave, you can find a slave. If you want somebody to follow guidelines and follow all this stuff, but that's not...
Can I buy a woman from the Dominican and have her live here with us?
No, why?
Because you just said if I wanted a slave.
No, I'm talking about instead of a wife. Instead of me. Instead of me.
No, but it's an addition.
No.
That's why they feel so funny.
Good shot, man.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help her out around the house. M extra, if you had to get married again, would you make a woman sign a contract of certain things that you will require in marriage? You on mute? M extra? I know you're on. You're on mute. All right.
Oh, my bad, man. I didn't even hear what you said, man. I wasn't paying attention. Don't mind me.
All right. So you in the conversation or you out?
I didn't wasn't paying attention to the conversation.
All right. Don't worry about that. So, Blur, if you decide to get married, you asking for requirements from your wife?
Probably not, but on How I Met Your Mother, they had a whole episode about this, little things like weight requirements, you know, if the boobs start to sag, you have to get a lift, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And then the woman has stuff on like, yo, if you weight requirements, if you start losing your hair, stuff like that, if you can't perform. So you know what? This is big for me. Even before marriage, just like in relationships. I need somebody to lotion my back.
Lotion
my back. That's my requirement. So if I can play the right, why not?
See, and that's a good thing that people don't think of. Like, if you're going to get a mate and you're going to live with her and deal with her forever, there are certain things that you're going to need that she needs to adhere to. And you as well. Like, I would have that discussion before I ever got married again. Well, I would never get married again. If me and DJ, if DJ C-Sign, I'm not leaving DJ C-Sign. If DJ C-Sign decides to leave me, like, I'm getting a studio apartment with a little sofa couch so that my son can sleep on. I'm going to have my little beads so that when people walk in, they got to walk through the little beads and the little smoke machine. I'm going straight 1975 bachelor pad, right? But if I had to do it again, I would say, hey, DJ C-Time, this is what I need from a wife. Can you do these things? And if she said yes, cool, we get married. If she said no, then we can just be friends. But I don't think people think in those terms.
I'm not going to be your friend.
Yeah, DJ C-Time was nothing to do. But she would be my friend. She doesn't know it yet, but she would.
No, I would.
When she decides to leave me, she'd end up being my friend. She thinks that she wouldn't, but she knows in her heart that if me and her don't work out, it's just because she got tired of me.
Ain't nobody going to question that either. Nobody who knows y'all is going to question that. They're like, oh, yeah. I had a homeboy who I knew him and his wife pretty well, and they got divorced. I didn't even – hey, you got divorced. I'm sorry to hear that. Fucked up, didn't you? Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's cool. Certain things you just know about people.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, man. What else we got? Oh, so Blur, well, I got you on the line. So let me ask Emetra, because I know you've seen a Blur. Emetra, have you seen the Michael B. Jordan Without Remorse movie yet?
No, I need to watch that. I watched Mortal Kombat, though. You want to talk about that? Or Concrete Cowboy. Anybody seen that?
I haven't seen either. I spent time at the Concrete Cowboy in Dallas, Texas. There is a video of me riding the bull, which I was definitely amazing at, no homo, but someone has
this
a video of that. And
Philly,
I,
though.
There's a Concrete Cowboy Philly. In Philly?
Yeah, yo, go look up Concrete Cowboy. Yo, watch that movie.
What Philly. You been doing in Philly?
No, I'm just saying, it's a movie. Check out the movie, Concrete Cowboy. It's a black movie.
I think it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't have Netflix. We watch it on cinema. But, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the app. Cowboy. Don't be down. For all your cable needs, you know, let us know. Don't be down.
I'm surprised DJ C. Siren ain't seen it. It's got Idris Elba in it.
DJ C. Siren doesn't like dark people.
You seen the Blur?
Yes.
What is it?
Concrete Cowboy?
Yeah.
Y'all got to check it out
so we can talk about it.
All right, Concrete Cowboy. Have y'all seen, so Blur, have you seen the Scorpion movie?
Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
This is the Yellow Scorpion.
What y'all? Look. Did you just say what?
Yeah. my uncle was a Concrete Cowboy. So my mom just told me, and my aunt Cheryl too. My aunt Cheryl has like green eyes and red hair, and I know she's black, but something had to happen back in the day that I got questions about. Shout out to my aunt Cheryl, she's great.
First off, you know what happened. You already know what happened back in the day. Like. Not even, we don't have questions you already know the answer to.
Hey, we went to a fair reunion. They're like, yeah, that's your Aunt Cheryl. And I said, oh, she's different. Hey, but she was always loving. She was always loving. So shout out to my Aunt Cheryl. But yeah, my family's famous for like Philly Cowboys. And it's just weird because I don't fuck with animals. But that's what happens when you grow up in an inner city and your family don't really fuck with you. And they just not around for your youth. But shout out to my grandfather and my aunt daughter. They were Concrete Cowboys, so I guess I gotta watch it. If it's based on Philly Cowboys, it's definitely based largely around my family. So I'm extra. I will get to that and let you know. But I want to hear about the Black Scorpion movie, Mortal Kombat.
I thought it was a good show. I thought like a good storyline. I think they could have went a lot of ways in the, like part one and two. They really did, but I think just one kind of like really spotlighted like Raven and I just like the story behind it. It was pretty good for me.
Blur, you're a movie buff.
Oh man, I hate that. Oh, boy. All right. Positive first.
Look,
I like the movie. Positive first. I liked it. It was a good time. It's a Mortal Kombat movie. It's a video game movie. Video game movies typically don't do well. Traditionally don't do well. I can't think of a good performing video game movie except for maybe Street Fighter, which was campy, and maybe the first Mortal Kombat movie was a damn campy video game movie about...
Who's that yellow electric nigga? I'm sorry. I said I'd never say that word again. I mean, good. I haven't said it probably yet.
Black light.
Who's the little yellow electric dude? Chinese, Japanese.
The new dude, Cole?
No, the little yellow animal electric dude. That's a video game that went well on movies. What the fuck is that little muskrat?
Electric dude.
Pokemon.
There you go.
Pokemon. Wait, you thought Detective Pikachu was a good movie?
No, but there's one before that my kid watched. It's cartoon, though.
Okay, well, yeah, live-action video game movies, and that's not a video game. That was actually a cartoon, so they had a story to build on. But, yeah, but Mortal Kombat
that was a cartoon
action was great.
Video game?
Yeah, way before video game.
Yeah, I keep cutting you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Back to Black Scorpion. Back to Yellow Scorpion.
Why
are
you calling
me Black? In Blue Ice Cube.
Sub-Zero Scorpion? Yeah. I mean, look, I have to disagree with that message because the story killed it. The story was so hard. The story made no sense. And I understand why, because I did some research and I found out that there was a different story they were going for before they got to this. And you could kind of tell, like, the stories, like, didn't really line up, in my opinion. So they kind of just pieced it together. Action scenes were great. I feel like they took everything bad about the first Mortal Kombat movie that was like from 95, and they did that well.
There was another
one. Everything good about that old Mortal Kombat movie, they did horrible. No story, great fighting. Bad acting, good acting. Like, it was just... But it's a Mortal Kombat movie, so you know what? You check your brain out. You don't really care to ask questions about what don't make sense. You just enjoy people killing people and blood and guts and fighting. Yeah, so I enjoyed that.
Oh shit! Yeah, dropped the mic. My bad.
I think Blur. What I was saying about good story was the whole you have to kill somebody to get the symbol that like you know what I mean, the world, the realms, all that kind of stuff. Like that part of it, like I think was good for what it was. You know what I mean? Like I'm not saying it was like a perfect thing because it did seem disjointed at some points, but I think if you follow Mortal Kombat, it kind of made sense. But if you didn't, or if you don't know like how it's supposed to be in a game, then it sort of like wouldn't make sense for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like some of the characters and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, when Sub-Zero broke Jax's arms off. Yeah, that was the hardest scene in the whole damn movie. That shit was crazy. So,
like the parts like they bought from the video game, like when Liu Kang kept sweeping homies, kept sweeping Kano. That's hilarious. That's not even in the game, but you know that's how people fight in the game. Like that was great.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that was just like certain things like that. You saw like certain characters that, you know what I mean, like you wouldn't think that you would normally see, and you had to be a fan to understand. Like even when Reptile showed up, like no one would know, cause it's not like they really announced who his character was, but you knew that was a character in the game.
Yeah, see, I didn't play Mortal Kombat that much. I was a Street Fighter
guy.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't have a bunch of money to go to the arcade. I was a Street Fighter guy. I was a Ninja Turtle guy. I was an NBA Jam guy. That and a WrestleMania guy. The WrestleMania is one of my favorite video games of all time. But I mean,
Classic WrestleMania is a great video game.
Yeah, it was a great video game. I mean, but I am familiar, so I definitely want to check it out. But
you haven't seen it yet.
All done with Mortal Kombat, just, you know, and don't give out any spoilers. I guess we got to wait. Are you going to watch Without Remorse this weekend, M. Extra? M. Extra, you out there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, so I guess we can table for Without Remorse next week.
Well, hold on. Before you move on, M. Extra, I just want to give you a little bit of setup. Just so you, I know y'all don't care about Rotten Tomatoes. It's getting killed on Rotten Tomatoes, like horrible reviews. At least in my social media, every person I know is saying this is Michael B. Jordan's best movie. Well, let me say, best movie as him as the lead role, because I don't think no one's saying it's better than Black Panther, but it's the best Michael B. Jordan movie. So just throw it out there for you to consider when you're watching it.
Fruitvale Station wasn't Michael B. Jordan's best role?
I didn't say it. I'm just seeing a lot of that.
Well, they probably didn't watch Fruitvale Station. That's not like a... Like, that's not a movie that probably the masses know.
They should. It's a great movie.
Like, that's a great movie. That's like Will Smith's 6 Degrees of Separation movie. It's a great movie, but I don't know if the masses know. But I mean, the Black Panther was great, but I mean, was Michael B. Jordan the supporting actor? Was he the main actor in Black Panther? I would think he's the supporting actor. He might have had the best character.
That's a Michael B. Jordan movie, but yeah, he's a supporting actor now.
This was Michael B. Jordan head role. I thought it was good. But yeah, I'm actually. I'll wait a week for you to hop back on. Now I was ready to say fuck it, and we could discuss it anyway. So I got beef with Blurry. I think he's got a hard stance on black headliners. I think he racist.
What? Get the fuck out of here.
It's just how I feel, yo. Fuck it. What you gonna say? Yo? It's just how I feel.
But wait, first off, I'm black, so I can't be racist.
Yes, you can. You can be racist on an all-black show. When it's just me, you, M. Extra Money, and DJ C. Sign, because I'm ignoring everyone else, you can be racist. All right, M. Extra, so I'll wait for you to watch that. We'll table that for next week. So I had this discussion with my brother. It was actually Blur's brother, but I love him like a brother. And we were having this whole discussion. He was shaming me for all types of stuff. Blur's brother, he continuously shames me for all types of stuff and judges me. And it's weird because I've never judged him for anything, and I've always defended him at all costs. And but to this day, he just fires me up about stuff, and I love him always. Yeah, but we stumbled onto a good discussion. Would you want a do-over in life? In New York, you're live. You're off mute, so feel free to jump in whenever you want. Glad to have you as always, brother. So, Blair, I will come to you because you were part of that discussion. We were talking about
you know, I think I might have actually tapped out on that discussion at first. I was actually at work at the office and, you know, had people coming in. But I did read up a little bit of what y'all was saying. But the do-over seems intriguing to me. So I guess I need the rules. Like, do I start over knowing everything that I know now and knowing that this is a do-over so I still have all my memories of my current life and experiences? Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Well,
yeah, I would do it.
No, the do-over, you know everything, but you have to give up something you love. Whether that be your mom, God bless her soul, your dad, your child. Because if you do over everything, you're not going to end up in the same position you are now. So that means your son may not ever be created. You might have a different kind of son.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be most likely because I would change so much of my life doing it over. So, nah, if I got to give up a family or a loved one to start over from scratch, nah, I wouldn't do it.
See, and that's the question I thought was intriguing. Like, if you had a do-over in life that you could go back and change things, but knowing that it's the multiverse theory, it's the Spider-Man, it's the Black Spider-Man movie theory, knowing that if you changed everything, you would not end up in the position you are today, would you change it? So, Blur, you say no?
Nah, because I couldn't see giving up, like, especially my son. And that's the funny thing, because, like, I know the changes, like, if I was to start over from scratch, I know the changes in my life would not lead me down the path to be his mom, to have my son. So, yeah, so, nah, that's too rich of a payment for me. I think I would do it only if, like, if I had to come back, like, start over, but I got to do it as a girl. Like, so everything I know, I couldn't really apply directly to my exact circumstances. I mean, I might do that, but, nah, I couldn't give up a family member or my son just to start from scratch.
You want to come back as a female?
Don't want to, but if they were like, yo, you could take all your knowledge and everything you know, but you got to come back as the opposite sex. For me, it would be come back as a woman. I'm like, huh, all right, I'll make it to the league, but, you know, I might be able to practice my tennis or something. I mean, do something that way. I'd probably be gay because I still would like women, but yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's what I was going to say. You would end up getting a dick in you.
Nah, I don't know. Especially if I still got my same memories. Nah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that, so I'd just be gay. I come back as a gay woman. Yeah, why not?
Now you're going to hell.
And you know,
okay, that's an inside joke to all the listeners out there. Me and my brothers are having a conversation on gay and God. I don't really mean he's going to hell. It's just an inside joke that Blur would get. That's all.
No, you just said. You said all the gays are going to hell. I just heard you say that.
Yeah, I know how you are. It's all good. M-Extra, would you want to do over in life?
Absolutely.
Say that again?
I said absolutely. I would.
Well, at what cost? Because, again, you have three beautiful, beautiful children. And you got two great nephews that, like, your house is crazy. Like, you have a beautiful compound. You're risking that all if you're changing because it's not leading you down the same path.
Well, I mean, the change that I would make would either probably enhance what I was already doing, but it definitely wouldn't have been, like, worse. So.
Do you feel like sharing what you changed?
Definitely
look at it. Keep that private.
Yeah, I would never get shot. Like, I wouldn't get shot. Why the hell would I want to do that? I would go back and not have gotten shot. I would have, lost all the what I lost. Yeah, I would definitely go back and change because I would never know. I would want to know, like, what I was before that point and then what I came out of at that point. Like, I want to know what that person would have been like.
But that's what I think is the interesting discussion because, I mean, for all you, a lot of people don't know, like, MX was a world-class, like, damn near headed to Olympic athlete, you know what I mean? Great runner, great football player. He, in a unfortunate situation, he got shot in the stomach. So if you never got shot in the stomach and you continued on your world-class track path, and you and Blur can have that discussion, like, you're probably not ending up at the school you end up. You're probably not meeting the wife of your children. So you have to give up your children to do over.
Yeah.
So
I still want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean when you put it into like the kid terms, then
it sucks.
No, the general answer is to say no, yeah, because it sucks. It's a tough decision. But I think I still would though, just to see.
See, and that's why I love talking to you, because I'm the same way. Like, I love, like I was talking to my brother about this in New York. I'm coming to you and asking that question next. I'm a very happy, joyful person, and my happiness is priceless, right? Like, I talk to my brother all the time, like, yo, like, none of us know what religion is going to lead us to. You can be Baptist, you can be Catholic, you can be Jehovah's Witness, you can be a Hindu. None of us know what God is, if God is even real, until the moment we die. Either we turn back to dust, or we meet God and have the conversations about all the fuck-ups we had in life, right? So within saying that, if we don't know what religions are real, what's not, it's just all a guess, right? So if we just go back and just redo everything, right, what are you willing to give up and what do you want? It's sad to say, but, like, I would like to see what my life is if I changed a couple things. Does that mean that I don't have my son? Like, that's really tough for me to compromise because of how much I'm invested, how much I love my son. But I would like to see if, like, maybe I committed myself more to football, if I could have been an NFL big-time player, because I was that good, that if I committed myself, if I stayed focused, you know, I could have been a great NFL player in my mind if I had a few things to do all over again. But, like, I was talking to my brothers, like, but does that mean that I, instead of marrying a woman who loves me, who gave me a beautiful child, does that mean that I meet some starlet off Instagram who steals all my money? Like, that's the gamble you take. So, New York, what do you think? You redoing life and doing it all over again, or are you chilling with what you got?
Oh, no. Just to be honest, I feel like where I'm at in life
is
literally where I... It's not even high as a cop, dead ass. I ain't even gonna hold you, dead ass. But it's where I'm at in life is literally where I'm supposed to be in life. I don't know how to explain that more than already what it is, but it's a certain different type of biorhythm within myself that I'm following my gut instinct, and I'm on my, like, I'm really on my path, like for my purpose, like, I'm really in my pocket of power. So I can't really say that I would change certain things about my life. Like, I don't know, like different elements about my life, like, I wouldn't necessarily say that I would change that, because all of that, like, really led me up to where I'm at right now within my life, within my pocket of power and all that other stuff. And within this sense, everything is making sense to me, as far as my age and everything like that. I'm able to maneuver in certain type of instances, but I don't know. It's just like, yeah. It's just like a different type of element for me, you know what I mean?
Okay. I thought you were about to say, I got a different type of maneuver, and I was going to say, yeah, he's definitely high. But you got in the V in there. You got the maneuver in there. I thought you was going with maneuver. But I thought it was an interesting discussion. What you're willing to give up?
Oh, Wait, so for you and them extra, y'all would start over. Y'all would focus on sports. Like I know you said you would see if you would make it to the league if you dedicated yourself. Amexa said not getting shot. I'm assuming that's like to go after the sports as well. My thought, I didn't even think about, well, kind of thought about sports. My thing was like Ivy League school. Like I'm trying to like invested Yahoo, soon as that hits the market, invested Google, soon as that hits the market. I didn't really think about like starting over to pursue athletic fame. Like just to know, like, and maybe, I mean, it's money, I guess, in the end all the way, but just thinking about like knowing what I know now, like to be start 1980 over again, but just with all the knowledge of what's going to come and what's going to happen. Oh man, I'm investing whatever I got like right away.
I'm gonna say this. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead, New York. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm gonna say this. Like literally, nah. If I get shot, nah, me and Yay, literally, that injury is literally. You know what I mean, you see me in the shoulder brace, I'm come back in a block. You know what I mean, it ain't not happen. You ain't never gonna see none. You ain't never gonna see me hurt this, that, and the third. You know what I mean, you might catch me in a brace the first, the second, the third day if I'm outside. Other than that, nah, it's not gonna happen. So. Don't think that's a sign of weakness. Don't think that's a sign of weakness. Nah.
You're going back to war times. But, I mean, Blur, like what you're saying is it's not technically what I mean. And I think MX sure understood me. It's not that, oh, I know Apple's going to blow up. Oh, I know Yahoo's going to blow up. Oh, I know Amazon's going to blow up. So I'm investing my money. I'm talking about specific. Like, we all know specific points in our lives where we made a choice where if we could go back, we would choose different. Like, for me, like, my ex-girlfriend, y'all know her, except for New York. You're a little younger. You didn't meet my ex-girlfriend. But she was my girlfriend from basically ninth grade in high school to, like, junior year in college, right?
No neck?
If I had to do it all over again, like, I would never be in a relationship with her because it never amounted to anything. Like, I mean, like, we're still cool to this day. Like, she's great people. I love her to death. I still think she's one of the greatest influencing human beings in my life. But there was a moment where I had to choose between her and working out for an NFL team because she was going through something that's real personal, so I can't say it. And an NFL team, the Kansas City Chiefs, was like, yo, I want you to come work out for me. And I was like, yo, I can't. It's sort of like when I chose an extra money, they laugh at me about all the time. We had a spring football game, and I chose not to go to the spring football game. I chose to go to her prom. So, like, I skipped my football team's spring football game to go back to New Jersey to go to her prom because she was a year younger than me. So there was another time later on where I had a chance to work out with the Chiefs, and I said no to them and helped deal with her personal issues. If I'd have known that, like, we would never get married and be in love again, like, I would have worked out for the Chiefs. Like, you know, it's that, those are the moments I'm talking about. It's not, and there's no disrespect to her. She did need me at that time. She was going through something, and I'm glad that I was there to help her do it. But if I'd known that we would never be together and she would end up cheating on me, like, I would never have chosen that. So that's the line of thinking that I'm coming from of what decisions would you change. Anybody got anything left?
Yeah, I got a few things I would probably change. Like, specifically, like, my senior year in Grambling when I was graduating, there was an issue with my classes, and, like, one of my classes didn't make it on the thing, and I had to, like, do all this work with the president, and I remember my coach was like, yo, you still got a year of eligibility. Just stick around for a year. Take this remote class that you already handed in your assignment on, so you're already going to get your A. This was, like, around the same time Matt Leinart was, like, taking dancing just to play for USC. And he was like, yeah, come back for next year. We still have another season. I mean, you have another year of eligibility. You won't have any classes to take. And I was like, the thought of me being in college for more than 4 years was like, nah, that ain't me. I'm out, man. I'm headed to law school. So I might have did that again, like, take a year off and not doing nothing, just focusing strictly on track, And I probably could have studied more and focused on, like, applying to other law schools. I was like, I'm out. I'm headed to L.A. Nah, I'm going to the president's office right now. We're getting this straightened out. So, yeah, I think that probably would have been, like, the one thing. Now, at the same time, my girlfriend at the time got pregnant as well, so I might have still had my son in it. It could have still played out the same way.
Okay. So who's faster in their prime, M. Escher or Blur? M. Escher, I'll let you go first.
What was the question?
Who's faster in their prime, M. Escher or Blur?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know what he ran.
Yeah, M. Escher, I didn't even know, I didn't even know you ran track.
Yeah, man. I ran track when I was 8 years old, bro. Yeah. I don't know.
So y'all ain't going to throw y'all stats out there. Y'all just going to be pussies.
I don't know what you're
saying.
My best in the 100 meters, my best in the 100 meters was a 10.6. I was an 800 runner, though. What's that?
Yeah. I stopped running 800 when I was 12.
Oh, he's shitting on you. I mean, he said he stopped running that at 12.
No, I'm just saying because I couldn't run faster than at 12, I ran 159, and I was just, my body could go faster.
Yeah, so
was
the 800, but so 800, I forgot. I think my fastest was like 146. My fastest time in the 100, though. Time. The 100, I was a 10.6, and I did that in summer track in high school, and that's like my all-time best.
Yeah, never ran 100, buddy. You were the fast guys. You and Ray. That's you and Hove.
Yeah, Blur was fast, but he couldn't catch.
I wouldn't say all that, but all right.
I mean, you can catch better than your brother. But your brother was another one. He was the, what was that movie, The Replacements, where he put all that sticky stuff on his hands? That was definitely your brother. I love your brother. I love you, Duff, man. Shout out to Minivan, man. One of the greatest people in the world I know. So hold on. So do y'all have any races in common that y'all used to run the track with? Blair, would you run?
I mean, my race was the 800, but like especially my senior year in high school, I ran everything from the 1 through the 8. College, it was more the 4, the 8, and the mile.
So MX, would you run?
So it depends. So you gotta understand, like after that, so I stopped really. I never was the same after I was 14. So, but I ran a 2.4 and an 8. But then I cut the 8 off after I was 12. So when I was 13, I just ran a 2 and a 4.
Cause you got shot at what? 16?
14.
You got shot at 14.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So at 14,
we just got, but we, yeah.
So at 14, what was your race?
Like we just got, I literally just got back from the Junior Olympics.
So would you run at the Junior Olympics?
The 4, and I, the 2 and the 4.
Okay, so at 14, would you run at the 2 and the 4?
My 2 was 23-something, and a 4, I ran 51.
So, Blur, you ran track in middle school. What was your 2 and the 4 at 14?
You know, I ain't even going to hold you. I have no idea.
Look, I know what my 2 and the 4 was real long, because I've been fat since I was 4. Hey, y'all nephew got the 2 and the 4 and the 8 on a Saturday. I feel bad for that kid. He's got to run the 2, the 4, and the 8 all in between 9 a.m. and 12 a.m.
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's what I actually like about track was I tried to get my son into it. Like, I actually started running track because I wanted to meet people, girls specifically. I'm like, yo, track race is cool. You just kind of hang out all day. You run your 1, 2, your couple races. And the rest, you just out there chilling with your homies. Like, I might have to get back into coaching or something, because this track meets are all day, and if you don't, you spend most of the day chilling.
That's a good discussion. What did you do in high school to meet girls? What event did you do? New York, I'm going to bring you in. When you were in high school, what did you do outside of your box to simply meet women?
I ain't even going to hold you. I'm just myself. Deadass. I'm just myself. Literally. I think outside the box, anything that we got an event going on within our chapter, you know what I mean? I dress appropriately. And when I dress appropriately, I get some attraction in a sense. You heard? So.
So New York is talking about joining the gang. My man, M Extra Money. What did you do in high school? I love New York, dude. That's my man, yo. He's one of the few people that I did not grow up with, that I did not go through college with, that if anybody had a problem with New York, I'm tussling on site. And I can't – look, I'm old. I don't even want to fight nobody no more. But I love him that much that I would tussle with anybody for New York. I love that man that much, man. Shout out to my man, New York. M. Extra, what are you doing? What did you do in high school outside of your box to simply meet women?
Outside of my box?
Yeah, like what did you try new just because you knew women were involved? And I'm going to Blur last because Blur knows what he got me in, just to simply meet women.
Nothing, yo. I didn't join anything for that.
All right, Blur, what you got?
Yeah, nothing.
For me? Everything.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna front everything. I was one of those people in high school, like, if it was a club, a group, anything, I was there. Joined marching band, predominantly just to meet chicks.
That,
I liked track, I ran track. I know where you were going, but yeah. Band trip, one time at band camp, that's how it started. Yeah, absolutely.
Dead ass, so hold on. So you,
hold on, you gotta make it quick because you gotta end, hold on, you was in band camp making a bum 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 type of shit, what type of
instruments you was playing on the drum and all that.
And that was the fuck. So Blur got me, he said, yo, we gonna join the marching band. You know, it's all these chicks out there. He said, and we're going to flip the rifles. We're going to throw rifles in the air. And I was like, all right, there's chicks involved. Like, I'm in. Like, it ain't that big of a deal to me. Like, yo, the coaches allowed us to play football, still in band. You know, you had to learn to play the instrument. But I was like, yo, I'm going to flip these rifles and meet these chicks. Because you go, you literally start. So, like, you would do a football game at, like, so – in New Jersey, we would play Saturday afternoons. So you would go Saturday afternoon from like 1 to 3 would be your football game. And then you would get on the bus and like go on a trip. Or it would be Friday night. You would just go on a trip. And you'd be going all day and all night. And it's literally you. It's literally like, Blur, what would you say, 10 dudes on the bus and 30 girls?
Like, 10 dudes, like you.
Yeah, like it was the numbers were crazy in our favor. But what Blur didn't tell us that like the only dudes that threw the rifles in the air were the gay dudes. We went out to throw these rifles. And the band director was like, yeah, y'all don't want to be in this part of the group. You're going to have to pick an instrument. And that's how I learned how to play the saxophone. Because he did not want me with the gay dudes. And I thank him for that. But, yeah, that the first time I ever curled up with a chick. Well, the first time I ever curled up with a chick was coming back from was going to Washington, D.C., 8th grade. We took a field trip to Washington, D.C., and then Champ Horsey stole my girl, Angelica, who later became a chemist. I've always liked nerds for women. I don't know what my problem is. But that was a good trip. So that is what I did to meet women was join marching band. And I love it because I love music. I still can play Ode to Joy on the saxophone to this day. It was a good, but you did meet a lot of women. They weren't the coolest women though. But they were. But when you're 14, you don't need cool women. You just need a woman once you realize you're not gay. But that's our show tonight, man. We had a good show. I had a good discussion. We're gonna break up out of here. Been a good talk in the night. Hey, so just so y'all know, Tuesday at 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., we are doing a live off-ramp for the Muse Give 757 local. I partnered with a local writer studio that does a lot of great work for the community. So we're doing a late, late episode. If you could join us, like again, 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., if you can join us, great. If you can't, that's okay too. If you got a dollar, please donate to the Muse Writers Center down here in Norfolk, Virginia. The guy who runs it, always tell people that, like, I know so many great people, like Blur. We crack jokes, but such a great human being. M Extra Money, another one of those guys who's just, like, just a good human being, give you the shirt off his back, help you with anything. New York, New York, he's always going to make you smile no matter who you are. He's just that good of a person. The guy that runs the Muse Writers Center is another one of those human beings who just got a beautiful soul. So if you got a dollar, donate to the Give 757 Local. Donate to the Muse Writers Center. Hey, we're getting out of here. Blur, M Extra Money, you got anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Good night.
Great statement. Blur, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Don't fall for the banana in your tailpipe. I mean, everybody watch for these people trying to gaslight you and trick you with their black Superman. I mean, just read between the lines and you'll always see the bullshit. I hope, in addition to watching Without Remorse, everybody who get a chance, check out the movie Spontaneous. It's on Prime, I think, for free. You can find it in other places. Check it out. I really want to know what other people think about it. I think it's one of the most important movies that came out last year. It's a comedy. It's kind of a serious comedy coming of age story, but Spontaneous. Check it out. I think once you guys check it out, y'all be wanting to talk about it the same way I do. But yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right. I'll check it out and we can discuss next weekend. New York, New York, you got 60 seconds, my friend.
Oh, man. See, I wasn't here for everything that occurred for the night, you know what I mean? But other than that, yo, literally, just follow your biorhythms in life. You heard? You know what I mean? Just follow your truth. You heard? You know what I mean? It speaks within you, within your gut. You're like, literally, just follow your gut preference. Other than that, I'm washing my hands with some raw sugar Foaming hand wash made by the collagen boosting plant peptides. Oh yeah, green apple and sweet grass. Oh yeah, we washing the hands. We washing the hands. Make sure the cuticles is like clean and all that. Other than that, y'all mean stay safe out here,
my man.